You are listening to A Message from Victory. We hope this will encourage you to grow in your faith.
Well, we are starting a new series entitled Here and Now to celebrate our anniversary, that the kingdom of God is here, that the kingdom of God is here now. And that's been the message of Jesus when he first proclaimed it in Matthew chapter 3. But in the video that you saw, let me highlight a few people in those videos. One is Pastor Steve Merle. Okay, this is Pastor Steve when he had a head full of hair then, okay? And so he will be the first one to tell you. But he's just amazing how the Lord has raised up. He was 24 years old when he became the senior pastor and planted the church here in Manila in 1984 when his son, William, came a couple of years later in 1986, 6 weeks after the EDSA revolution. Okay, and so they've been here for the longest time, and what seemed to be supposed to be a 1 month trip, it became 25 plus years. And just he, you know, as I said, he planted the churches and he started all that we see today. And then, of course, Pastor Joe Bonifacio. I don't know if you noticed the voice that was doing the voiceover earlier. That was Pastor Joey. You can't get off his voice, off your head, right? You know that's Pastor Joey. And so he planted our Makati Church in Makati Sports, where we are again back there today. And then, of course, a few other pastors and other leaders. Pastor Joel Magpantay on the right, far right. If you notice him, he's here every so often. He would do our emceeing and transition here. And so, again, grateful for all that the Lord has done through the years. And so, as we talk about the kingdom of God in this 4 weeks that we'll talk about kingdom parables, the reason why we wanted to talk about the kingdom of God is because Victory is really just a tiny, minuscule part of the kingdom of God. We are just privileged that the Lord is using us in this part of the world, but the kingdom of God is way beyond what we can see today. In fact, the church of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of wonderful churches out there. We're just one of the many thousands and hundreds of thousands of churches that the Lord is using. And just again, as I said, we're just privileged that the Lord is using us where we're at. And so I remember, you know, I mentioned to you in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus talked about the gospel of the kingdom and that he said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I remember receiving the gospel of the kingdom when I was 17 years old. As a young man who was lost, felt rejected, felt insecure because my parents separated before I turned 1 year old, and grateful that the Lord has saved me from sin. Alam mo yung, there are those who are, I looked religious on the outside, but I was rebellious on the inside. You know, religious doesn't mean righteous. That one person can look really, you know, they go to church and all that, but I was far away from God. And so I'm just so grateful that this gospel of the kingdom gripped my heart and saved me and now has called me into the ministry of preaching and being an ambassador of this gospel. And so God has come as king, the Bible says, that his kingdom, and when you talk about the gospel, it's more than the gospel of the afterlife. It's not just the gospel that says you're going to go to heaven after you die when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because sometimes we've bought into this, the conversion-only gospel, that we think just, you know, from this life to that life, you go to heaven. But it's more than that. We've heard that narrative before, but it's more than just that. That the gospel of the kingdom says that God as king has come through Jesus Christ to rule in this world, to bring about redemption and salvation, to put the world in its right order again. And so when sin came in Genesis chapter 3, corruption and rebellion and all that happened, and it went on a downward spiral. But thanks be to God, when Jesus came, did not just die, but rose from the dead, then inaugurated the coming of this kingdom. That the kingdom is here. You might have heard of some people say it's already here, but not yet. The alreadiness of the not yet. We live in dual reality. It's here, but not yet. It'll come into fulfillment in the coming days. And so that the gospel is not just It is not good advice. It's actually good news. That's what the gospel is, right? That the gospel of this kingdom is not good advice. Good advice is counsel that you must do. Good news is a report about what's already been done. Okay? Good advice urges you to make something happen. Good news urges you to recognize that something already has happened. And so that's the difference between the two. I remember Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was a preacher back in early 1900s. This was he was preaching in Westminster Chapel in London. And so he would tell the story of that the gospel is good news, not good advice. Or, you know, talking about good news, heralding the gospel. He said, you know, when let's say you're in a kingdom, and the kingdom is being invaded, or it's, you know, there's an onslaught of the coming other kingdom, what you need are military advisors, right? You need people who will give you counsel how to defeat the enemy. But that is if they're still coming. But if the kingdom has won over the enemy, you don't need military advisors. What you need are messengers. You need heralds that will say, we don't have to fight anymore. We don't have to create a fortress any longer. We can put our arms down because we have won the victory. That's what the gospel is. It's good news, not good advice. That you today have won the victory through Jesus Christ when he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. It's paid for. Paid in full. Somebody say amen to that. That you and I today have victory. Now, here and now, okay, kingdom parables. And we're going to talk about this. We'll be in Matthew chapter 13. Now, I want to preface what I'm going to say today and explain what the parables are. Because we hear a lot about the parables. There's the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, the lost sheep. Jesus used parables a lot when he would teach and when he would preach, right? But it's more than just a story. Why did Jesus preach or teach in parables? It was easy to grasp, yes, because he talked about sheep, nets, coins, fig trees, mustard seeds. He used all of these that in common day language, or I mean everyday language and common things that they would see every day. And so people understood this. Okay, that's what he meant by this. But not only that, it revealed the hearts of the listeners. Why? Because once he started saying a parable, if you were a son or a child or a daughter of the king, you would know what he was talking about. When you hear a parable, when you hear the parable, okay, I know what he's talking about because this is the spiritual truth that is being conveyed. But to those who don't believe, it's concealed. They have no clue what it means. And then, because the Bible says, Matthew 13, 14, when he was asked, why do you speak in parables? This was his answer. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. To the person who does not believe, their hearts are so callous, they don't understand. There's like a big wall right in front of them that though Jesus speaks in plain language, there was no ability for them to see through because of their unbelief. And then, not only that, it's a fulfilled prophecy because in Psalm, one of the Messianic Psalms, talking about this, about the Messiah, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world, which is fascinating for me. Because way before Jesus came, the verses in Scripture in the Old Testament already said he will speak in parables. Pretty fascinating. And so, Matthew chapter 13, let's read the parables that Jesus talked about in this specific one. He put another parable before them. He was speaking in front of the disciples, and there was a huge crowd. Many times the crowds would be in front of Jesus. They would listen to his teaching because they were fascinated by his wisdom. Another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Right? his field, meaning God's field. Okay, he is the sower. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy, this is Satan, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Verse 26. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do what you you want us to go and gather. Do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them up in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Right? And so let me pray and ask the Lord for wisdom for us as we study and reflect. Lord, I ask, Lord, that as we approach your word, your holy word, may we approach it with reverence. Lord, I know it's in apps and it's in online websites and it's on messaging apps, Lord, your word, but it is still your word. And we ask, though it is common that we see it all around, we pray that the solemnity, the sacredness of your word would speak to our hearts today. We pray for your Holy Spirit to move so that, Lord, the word, the sword of the Spirit would penetrate deep into our hearts. Let it not be just another lesson, but let it be transforming word that would take root and bear fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just summarize what he said. There are two seeds, there are two sowers, and there are two outcomes. He was talking about weeds and wheat. The weeds, the generic term is weeds, but what he was talking about are the ones that you would call, or agriculturists would call, darnels. The darnels they really look like wheat from the beginning. You will not be able to tell them apart until the ear or the grains would show up. The wheat would have brown ears, all right? The darnels would have black ones. And so after some time, after they have grown, you will be able to tell them apart because of the fruit. Now, the Bible says later on in verse 38, we didn't read this anymore, but Jesus explains the parable to the people. After he has asked the disciples, okay, you can go. The crowd rather, you can go. Left the disciples and explained to them, this is what I meant by this. The field is the world. Remember, the sower, it is his field. And so the world is God's. The Bible says in Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the world and all who live in it. Okay, everyone, everything that you see around us belongs to God. Right? The devil deceives us and makes us think that it is his. Remember when Jesus was in the desert and he was tempting, the devil was tempting Jesus. I own this world, the kingdoms of this world, I'll give it to you. Just worship and bow down before me. It was a deception. The devil is a deceiver and he's the father of all lies. And so the Bible says the field is God's. It's his. All this is his. All right? The devil may have some power, but super limited power, but God has all power. And the seed is the sons of the kingdom. He said this is God's field, God's work, and then the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. And then the weeds are the sons of the evil one. All right? So there's the good seed, then there's the bad seed. Now, the world is where we live in today, and God has planted Christ followers around. That's what he's saying, right? And those who are not following Christ or who have rejected him are from the darkness, are from the kingdom of darkness. Now, don't get offended by me saying this, because this is not me. This is the Word of God. Okay? If you're going to get offended with Jesus. All right? And so, this is what He said. And so, if you're not a Christ follower, and if you have rejected Him, you are the son or a daughter of the evil one. Now, hear me though, that all of us at one point, we were children of the evil one. Because apart from Christ, we would have not have any relationship with Jesus or the Father. We wouldn't have been reconciled. We were all weeds and darnels. Darnel is a what agriculturists call them, are they are false wheats or poison wheats. And so we were all far away from God. We were all rebellious. We all rejected Him. But thank God for His grace, which is what we talked about the past 4 weeks, that His grace changes everything. And because of His grace, we've been transformed. And the same grace we've received is the same grace we dispense so that people may know Christ as well. All right? And so this is the explanation Jesus gives. And then also there are two sowers. The first one sows good seed is the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Okay, it's not a trick question, okay? It's Jesus, right? Jesus is the Son of God, pointing to His divinity, the Son of Man. Son of Man is a title, is a messianic title that Jesus used often to refer to Himself. Christ is another messianic title. Christ is not His last name. Okay, not Jesus Christ, all right? Son of Man, Christ rather, is Messiah, chosen one, anointed one. But He often refers to Himself as the Son of Man, meaning, where did He get this, right? Because 80 times in the New Testament, this was used about Him. He actually was referring, going back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, there was a prophetic word that was given. This was thousands of years before Jesus was, or hundreds of years rather, before Jesus was born. And in this prophetic word, Daniel received this and said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And He came to the Ancient of Days, speaking about the Father, speaking about God Almighty, Yahweh. Okay, that's another term that refers to God. The Ancient of Days, and was presented before Him. And to Him, the Son of Man, was given dominion, glory. Now again, if this was Daniel or human or another person, this wouldn't apply. Glory. Right? Dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Right? So obviously this was one who was going to be coming from the line of David, who was going to be king of all kings. This was the Son of Man. And so when Jesus would say, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost, when we talked to Zacchaeus last week, if you remember, He was referring to Himself, and He was referring to Daniel chapter 7. That yes, I am human. The first Adam, okay, the first human messed up, fell, disobeyed God, but I have come, the second Adam, to redeem, so that the punishment that was supposed to be in the lineage of the first Adam, I now take, so that you no longer have to suffer the consequences. Everybody follow? And so now when He's saying this, right, He is alluding to His humanity, yes, but also His divinity. Now, the second sower is the devil, okay? That's what He says. And then let me talk about the outcomes. The outcomes, He says, the Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers. And for some reason, you know, listen, evil does not come from God. God does not author evil. there is an evil one out there that is sowing wickedness in this planet. We have to be clear with that. That it is not God that brings evil and wickedness. And so he says here, right, that one day these lawbreakers, the causes of sin, will be gathered and they will be thrown into the fiery furnace. Listen, again, this message would not be a popular message because it's not something, it's not a verse that you will tweet, right? Because it's a message of it's a sobering message to people who don't follow Christ. And to the person who follows Christ, Lord, I want my family. I want my relatives. I want my friends. I want them to be with me when the time comes. That not they will not have to suffer the consequences. You see, Jesus Christ died on that cross so that we don't have to be thrown into this fiery furnace. Jesus died on the cross so that our sins will be forgiven, that when the full wrath of God was placed on Christ, it did not have to be placed on us. That's grace, right? And so throw into the fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pastor Jure said there will be no anuin, walang bungi. No, there will be no toothless in hell. And so the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Shine like the sun. And so this is the other outcome. The one outcome to those who reject Christ and to those who will receive Christ, they will shine like the sun. All right? Now let's bring some application and we'll try to wrap this up. Number one, God is constantly calling people into his kingdom. God is constantly calling people into his kingdom. When I was away for a few weeks, one of the people that preached here, and you would see him every so often, is Pastor Manny Carlos. Anybody remember Pastor Manny? Yes, okay, so you remember Pastor Manny. You see him, he's preached here several times in this service, and he would also be preaching on the other service sometimes. And Pastor Manny got saved, became a Christian, gave his life to Christ when he was a student, right? Let me show you a picture, okay? And so that's Pastor Ferdy, Pastor Jojo, and Pastor Manny, okay? And so he took his master's in UVA, University of Virginia, but he was in UP also, and he was in Ateneo previous to that. And so Pastor Manny, I was in a dedication of a clinic a few weeks ago with Dr. Jojo Rivera from our church in Ortigas. And he was talking about, there was another doctor there that said, do you know a guy named Manny Carlos? I said, yeah. You know, magkabrad kami. Okay, we were in the same fraternity. Basagulero yon. Okay, and now, in English, ano ba? Troublemaker, okay? Breaker, basagulero, you know? He's a troublemaker. And so he was not only just in drunk all the time, but he was in drugs and just all these things. It's like, but how is he now? Okay. I said, he's a pastor. And it's like, really? And so he could not believe Pastor Manny or Bishop Manny, okay, is actually a pastor today. Right? And we were neighbors for a while. We were in St. Ignatius in Quezon City, the village there. And we would meet people who he grew up with. Yeah, si Manny? I knew he had the nickname. I can't remember what his nickname was. Eh. But sigurado, are you sure that's Emmanuel Carlos? That you're talking about yung dilat na singkit, di ba yung, and so, are you sure that's him? Okay, and so, yes, he's one of our pastors now. And so just, I'm telling you, God is calling people in his kingdom. And to this day, God still changes and transforms lives. Amen. Question. Have you responded to his call to live for the king and for his kingdom? Before you answer quickly, swiftly, I know many of us come to church, right? And a lot of us here you know, whether you're watching online or listening to this podcast today, it's easy to say we have, but I want to make sure and let us know that it's, yes, it's a one-time coming to Christ, but it's also every day surrendering your life and say, Jesus, today I'm living for you. You see, we preach the gospel to ourselves not one time, but to every day. That Jesus, you are constantly saving me from the filth and the brokenness in my own life. Have you surrendered and responded to that call to live for the King and for His kingdom? It's a daily call. Second one, the people of the kingdom will grow. Jesus says, you know, don't pull out the wheat, because you might, or the weeds rather, because you might pull out the wheat. And so, but let them grow. And then when the time comes, you will see the fruit. And when the fruit comes, you can distinguish. Then pull out the wheat and pull out the weeds and then separate them. The people of the kingdom will continue to grow. I was looking at a photo of the small group pastor Steve had, okay? Pastor Steve and Deborah. Miss Deborah is the one on the extreme left, in the bottom left, right? And so this is their small group then. And you look at, that's Pastor Steve. That's Ferdy Kabiling, okay, who is our Metro Manila director now overseas. That's Gene Manawis, who is actually one of our, one of the businessmen. He's actually in Victory Makati. That is June Escosar, who oversees our Asia missions right now. That's Saiki Turingan, who is our missionary in Thailand today. That's Gigi Escosar, okay. Gigi, what's her last name before? Lim, okay. They got married, Pastor June and Pastor Gigi, Pastor June and Gigi. And but this time, I think they were students still. They met there. And then, now she's a homemaker who has raised two wonderful children. And then, right in that middle, right, I don't know if you can recognize, that's Pastor Manny Muleta. Okay, and so those of you who know Pastor Manny Muleta, that's him, right? And so I think about just the men that were reached in campus then, but they are leaders today. And so to this day, that's been the heart. You know, we want to change the campus, change the world, right? And that's been the mantra. And so this was the church then. About, I don't know, 400 people, 500 people. This is a university belt. That's back in 1984, right? And then a group of people who just said, we want to change the world, right? The audacity to say, we're going to change the world. None of them had passports at that time. But as many of you have probably heard, one of the sayings we have here is we need to have, if you want to be a Christian, a serious Christian, you need to have a Bible and a passport. Why? A Bible to know God's will, and a passport to obey God's will. Because Jesus is going to all the world and make disciples of all nations. Right? Question. Do you see yourself as God sowing you as a seed in His field today? You don't have to be a pastor to do this. You don't have to be a campus minister to do this. You don't have to be a missionary, a cross-cultural missionary to do this. You can be like Gene Manawis, who's a businessman. You can be like Lawrence De Los Santos, who's working with CCT. You can be like Danny Abines, who's working with BGAMP, who's reaching out to the detainees. You can be like Diane Gonzalez, who's helping out the women who are detained. You can be different people who have reached out, and you don't have to be in full-time ministry because you understand you've been planted for a reason where you're at today. In fact, you don't have to go to BJMP. You don't have to go to other nonprofits. You can be who God's called you to be where you are today, in campus, in your office. Do you know that you are a missionary where God has placed you? Ah, ganun ba, Pastor? Di ba? Akala ko I'm just supposed to make money, diba? Or I thought I was just to just go up the corporate ladder. You know, I met somebody from a telecom company this was a couple years ago. He said, you know, he's a corporate executive. And he said, you know what, I've changed my mindset. I'm no longer just a corporate executive. I'm a corporate missionary. I am now sent. And so he started small groups where he's at. He's actually reached people because of that. And so, listen, you are where you are today because God wants you to reach other people for him with the love that you have received. Third thing, and we'll end with this one. From this parable, we see that there's a day of reckoning. There is a day of reckoning. Now, does this mean that we don't pursue justice anymore? That's not true, okay? In fact, in this world, we're called, okay, because justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne, the Bible says. And so we do our best to execute, to pursue justice. When we see someone receiving injustice, we want to step in and to make sure they receive justice. But let me tell you, unfortunately, stuff happens. And unfortunately, injustice still happens today. Why does a 4-year-old get raped? Why does a 10-year-old get killed? Why? You have all these questions, but listen, the game changer is point number 3. There is a day of recompense. God says, vengeance is mine. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. Do you know that God will expose the motives of... That's actually pretty scary. Okay, God will actually expose the motives of our heart. The motive of why you're in church today, he will expose. He will expose what you're thinking about now. Anong lunch ba? Diba sisig or crispy pata? Diba? He'll expose all that for us. Actually, I'm the one thinking that now. While preaching, no? Okay, so... confession. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Which means, if you are following Christ, there's a commendation. But if you reject this gospel, there's a condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each of us may receive what is due for us, the things done while in this body. Do you know that you're going to be accountable for this body? You're going to be accountable for this body. No, this is my body. No. You were bought with a price. Well, what is done in this body, whether good or bad. Right? And then verse 21 of chapter 21 of verse 4 and 5 of Revelation. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. This is the comfort that we have. There will be no more death, mourning. When the kingdom of God has been fully established, no longer already, but not yet, but fully established. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. I am making everything new. To the Christ follower, this is the hope that we have. But to the one who doesn't follow him, this could be bad news. That's why the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. And if you hear the voice of God, harden not your hearts, the Bible says. Question, will you trust him that he will make things right in the coming kingdom? Will you trust him? And this is, again, as I said, the game changer for us. I want to end by calling one of our students who actually is she actually went through Victory Weekend last Friday, and she got baptized Friday night, and then they attend a Friday youth service. We have a Friday youth service. Yeah. We do, okay? And so every 6 p.m. Friday night's here. And so just in case, you're attending, you're in high school, you're in college, you can join their Friday service. And so I want to call her to come up here. She was telling her story and her testimony, how God did. And I said, okay, Lord, I think it's a good way to summarize the message. Because point number one, God consistently calls people into His kingdom. Point number two says, at our application at least, that God will make the people of the kingdom grow. And we see that, how God did that in her life. All right, and then also, that whatever has happened in the past, Lord, You have the ability to make things right. Whether in this life or in the life to come. I want to call Notch as she comes up and shares her testimony.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So I'm Notch, and this is my testimony. It is true that being a Christian doesn't mean you have a storm-free life. I have known Christ ever since I was a tiny little girl. I grew up in kids' church here in Victory Fort, and my mom gave me my first Bible when I was around 10 years old. This was a great privilege, but it doesn't mean that I didn't have any problems in life. In fact, it felt like life was full of them. When I was younger, I formed a really good relationship with my dad. Some would even say I was a daddy's girl. But things went downhill when one day we got into a fight when I found out that he was having another family. It hurt me so much. And the fight was so terrible that my mom made me and my siblings stay with her. Since then, I haven't had the same relationship that I had with my dad before. Being separated from him may have caused my deepest wounds. I was full of anger. I was angry at my mom for keeping me away from him. And I was even more angry at my dad for never getting me back. And I was also in pain because I heard that I was the cause of our family's downfall. I felt like everything was my fault, and I put myself down for it. And I tried coping with my anger and my pain by overachieving in school and burning myself out, just trying to get the attention and recognition that I wanted from my family. But for some reason, what I did wasn't enough. But a few years ago, I went to boot camp for kids' church. And that was the first time I ever experienced Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was really touched by my experience there. So I decided to grow more in my faith. However, life didn't suddenly become rainbows and butterflies like how I, and I feel like a lot of us here, expect life to be. I still had more problems. Years and years after, I reached a really low point in my life and I found out that my mom and my dad tried aborting me. Not only did I feel anger and pain, but this time I felt lost. I questioned my identity and purpose. I felt like I wasn't meant to be living here on this earth. And I wanted to take away the pain, but I didn't even know how to anymore. My grades, my overachievements, they couldn't do anything. So I had no other choice but to turn to God. And so that's what I did. I started going to church more frequently. And that's when people from the Friday Youth Service reached out to me. I made friends that were able to help me grow in my relationship with Jesus. And eventually, I started one-to-one and learned more about Christ and who He really is in my life. That is a Father and a Savior. And when I gave Christ a chance, I was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the grace and love He overflowed me with. And in return, I started showing the same grace and love to others. I was able to forgive my mom and my dad and even my siblings. And I now have closer and better relationships with them. And I never, ever stop praying that they continue to grow more in their relationship with Christ. And most of all, I found my identity in Christ. I realized that abortion pill did not work on me for a reason. And I know that God created me for a greater purpose. And that purpose I will continue to live for. Life may not be a storm-free life. But when your life's foundation is in Christ, He will protect you from the storm. And most of all, He will overcome the floods. And last Friday, I was baptized as an act to publicly declare that I am a follower of Jesus. And I will continue to grow in Christ. And this testimony, it's not the end. There's so much more testimonies to come. And I will continue to live in Christ's purpose for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Amazing, right? I think about her story and how... I think when you hear a story like that, you can sort of get a few pieces of what she was talking about and apply that to yourself and say, that's me. Maybe my mom or my dad did not try to abort me, but I felt the rejection at some point in my life. Or maybe the identity, I wasn't sure if I had a purpose in life. Or do I even matter? If I just vanish on the face of this planet, will people even look for me? I mean, pieces of what she said surely resonates with every single one of us. But as she mentioned, there's only one person that can bring meaning, significance, fulfillment, security. His name is Jesus. And so I want to pray for us, because Jesus said, well, the Bible says, harden not your hearts if you hear His voice. And I want to pray that the Lord will bring you home to those of you who have been far away from Him. Close your eyes and bow your heads with me. Lord, I pray for, Lord, those of us today that have felt we're insignificant. We don't even have an identity. And Lord, maybe people will not even look for us if we vanished. But Lord, thank You that though people will not look for us, You continue to pursue us. You searched out for us. In fact, we are told that God demonstrated His love, that while we were still at our worst state and condition, when we were sinners, Christ died for us. That pursuit is the greatest pursuit of all time. And so, Lord, I know that You are pursuing men and women today, to this very day, and those who are watching and those who are listening to this podcast, Lord, You're pursuing them. You're wooing them, and You are saying, come home, my child. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, as we close our eyes and just bow our heads, I pray, Lord, for men and women here that need to make a decision to come home, to surrender their life to You, that they would do it today. Lord, that they would embrace the gift of salvation and forgiveness, that we don't have to perform any longer. We don't have to try to measure up, because we cannot. But somebody measured up on our behalf in Calvary, so that sins could be forgiven. Thank You, Lord. If you're here today and that's you, and you say, you know what, Pastor Paolo, that's me. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. And it's clear to me that this gospel of the kingdom is the one that will save and rescue. And that I don't have to try to perform, because when Jesus says it is finished, it's been paid for. I don't have to try to pay for it. I just need to receive it. If that's you, just lift up your hand. Could you just lift up your hand? If that's you, lift up your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? There's a few there. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. There's several of you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. wherever you're at, here's what I want to do. I want you to pray. I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender. He is Lord. And the Bible says those who trust Him, in Him will never be put to shame. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. And through Your death, I can have life. Life eternal and life abundant. And so, Lord, in this time, as You are calling me home, I am running to You. Be my Lord and Savior, Master and Forgiver, Lover of my soul. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the peace. Thank You for the joy. Thank You for the forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those that made that commitment today. I ask that as they have made that commitment, You would seal their covenant with You. Thank You, Lord. Let's all stand. I want to pray for one last thing before we go. Those of you who gave your life to Christ, please come forward later. We want to help you. We want to give you a booklet so that you can grow in your faith. But one final thing is this. If all of us here, God's planted somewhere. God's planted you in your campus, in your business, in the marketplace. You have a platform. Some have huge platforms. Some have not very big. But it's a platform nonetheless. And so I want to pray that the Lord will use us. The love that we've received, the love that Notch received, is the same love we will give to other people. You know, listen to me. There are a lot of people today who are seeking an answer to the hole that is in their heart. The emptiness. They're going to try to fill it with a lot of things. They've tried. But you and I have the answer. For God so loved the world, He gave. Okay? Let's bow our heads. Can we lift up all of our hands? Because all of us have an influence. All of us have a platform. All of us have an area where we can influence people for Christ. Lord, I pray for all of us. Lord, a 10-year-old back there, to a teenager, 16-year-old back here, up here in front, to a businessman in the middle seat. Lord, I thank You, God, that all of us here, You will use for Your glory. Lord, some of us, Lord, are great evangelists. Some of us, Lord, we just know that we have to evangelize. We just have to talk about Your love. And we're not gregarious like other people, but we can talk about what You've done for us. So, Lord, I pray for everyone as we go. Lord, use us. Let the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you were challenged and inspired by the message. Together, let's continue to honor God and make disciples.